waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. Host of the morning show on Seattle, KJR, 950 AM. He is Chuck Powell. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Patrick, what's going on, man?
Man, appreciate you taking a little bit of time for us tonight, buddy. So, your Seattle Mariners kind of hitting that crossroad of, you know, when do we put our pedal to the metal and when do we trade in for a new car? Maybe they're leaning towards getting a new car.
Well, I think that, I think they're kind of caught. You're right. It is a crossroad at this point, and the devil is nowhere to be found to sell your soul. So this is going to be a grind. It's going to be some hard work. The decision, I think, that is facing GM Jerry DePoto, Patrick, is do we go the long scale road that the Houston Astros once went down, the Chicago Cubs went down, which might take 4 to 7 years to try of just some really bad baseball to try to turn it around? Or can we try some improvised 2 to 5 year rebuild where we can keep some younger aspects with the hope that in year number 3, we're in a position to challenge the Astros in the American League West again? So I think that Jerry DePoto is leaning toward, if you can read through the lines that are being reported, leaning toward that road. And I think it's the right way to go, where we're going to try to preserve Mitch Haniger, we're going to try to preserve Edwin Diaz, we're going to try to preserve Marco Gonzalez, but everything that we can move that's not nailed down, and they have some assets that are unfortunately nailed down by bad contracts, we're going to try to trade them and replenish a farm system which is terrible. If not the worst, one of the worst in Major League Baseball.
Now, by assets nailed down, are we talking about, let's say, Robbie Cano, Felix Hernandez, yeah. D. Gordon? Was D. Gordon movable?
I don't think he is. I don't think that – I think it was he was made available last year by a team that was trying to ship off everything. They were throwing it overboard in Miami yesterday. And that wasn't a real deep line to get D. Gordon. Frankly, I think really the only reason that Jerry DePoto made that trade was in order to get some international money for this all-out attempt to get Shohei Ohtani in the offseason, which failed here in Seattle. So they took on a contract of 3 years, $39 million of a declining player who really didn't fit their system. He's not an on-base guy. He's not a control-the-zone guy. That's what Jerry DePoto has preached since he arrived on the scene here in Seattle. D. Gordon didn't fit that. He was a slap hitter and a guy that plays good defense if he plays second, but there wasn't a place for him to play second base here in Seattle. So I don't think there's much of a trade market at all. If they were able to move him, and they're going to try to move him, I would be surprised.
What's the local flavor on Felix Hernandez? And the numbers say he fell off a cliff last year. Do they think that he can get back to being close to what he was, or do they feel like he's gone into a rapid decline?
I think that there's a belief that he has enough movement on his pitches that something can be developed there. But I think unlike some guys in the past, I think Verlander went through it a little bit, but he didn't lose as much velocity as Felix Hernandez. I think Greg Maddux went through it at one point in his career where he lost velocity, but he learned how to become a better pitcher with declined velocity. I think we've seen CeCe Sabathia might be the best example of a veteran that wasn't throwing 95 to 97 anymore and was right around, you know, 90, 91. And it took him a little while to adjust to that, and he ended up being a really good serviceable starting pitcher for the Yankees here in the last few years. Felix seems to be fighting that. Even though he's got some crappiness, he's got some movement, he's still throwing 90-91, which should get you by in the major leagues. He is still somebody that, when he's behind 2-0, thinks he can rear it back, throw it down the middle. And so he is somebody that has been resistant to adjust. I think they're holding out a slim chance of hope that maybe he'll see the light in this last year, but I think it's more obvious to them that we got to find a role that makes it work. Let him play out his contract at $28 million this year. Try to find some sort of role that he can contribute. But what we're really looking forward to is getting through 2019 and having him off the payroll.
Chuck Powell, KJR 950 Seattle with us on the BetDSI.com inside line. Chuck, is there resentment towards Robbie Cano from last season?
I think that happens in any market, but I think that, yeah, I mean, it's there. But I think the bigger resentment, frankly, over more so than the PED suspension is the fact that he was signed to a 10-year contract to begin with. I mean, the idea that, I mean, this is the prime example, Patrick, of the player who was paid for what he's done in the past, paid to try to make a splash, you know, as opposed to trying to build a championship team the right way. This just isn't the market size to go out and get a 31-year-old second baseman, give him 10-year contract, and think that he's going to be able, who, by the way, had PED suspicion about him at the time that he signed the deal, and then to think that you're going to get productivity out of him for the next 10 years. I think the previous regime showed very little foresight when signing him. So, yeah, there's no doubt. You lose a star player making that much money to an 80-game suspension when you are in contention. There's some resentment, and I think that this fan base would be happy if they found a way to get rid of him in the offseason via trade. But I think that the thing that Mariner fans are most bothered by is they still got to pay him through 2024.
All right, Chuck, so if they are trying to move guys that aren't nailed down by albatross contracts, does that start with James Paxton?
I think he's the first and foremost. That's the one that comes to mind. I think he brings back the most assets in a trade. You could trade Edwin Diaz, but you control him for four more seasons, and so you only control James Paxton for two more. So if you are, Patrick, going to go through a rebuild, even if it's that scaled-down version we started the interview with, even if it's not the 5 to 7 year old sell everything, it's the 2 to 5 year, let's kind of reset, rebuild, eat it for a couple of years, and then hopefully we're in contention in 2 to 4 seasons. Diaz, Haniger, Gonzalez could still be around for this team. James Paxton won't be. In 2 years, he's going to be demanding, you know, a contract up to $20 million or more, 25, maybe around $28 million. Who knows if he ends up having those 2 seasons that everybody thinks he's capable of having in 2019 and 2020. So if you can take a 29-year-old starter who throws upper 90s consistently and you can move him for 4 or 5 assets, minor league assets right now, as I said before, the farm system is just depleted. If you can move this asset right now and try to get younger with 4 or 5 players in one move, I think that is the obvious choice. I think second in line is Gene Segura. I think third in line is Mike Zunino.
Now, when you talk about Segura, you know, Segura is a guy who's, you know, had some success in the league. Zanino's got power behind the plate, but, oh, the batting averages. And does the guy ever know how to – has this guy ever learned how to take a walk, like, ever in his life?
Well, I mean, it is. He's the swing and miss king. He just won Wilson Defensive Catcher of the Year in Major League Baseball. So there is – some talent there, and man, I'm telling you, when he gets a hold of one, he's got about as much power as anybody in the game. I mean, he has 40 homer potential. He truly does, but he just doesn't make contact enough. I don't know if he'll ever hit above 230, and we found out this year, man, remember those years he hit 220? Boy, that was nice. So, and that's the kind of hitter he is, but you look around the league and try to find an everyday catcher that brings as much to the table as what Zunino does, and you're hard-pressed to find that. Usually in today's game, you show any offensive ability at all to play every day, they move you out of the position so that you can keep your knees healthy and keep your bat in the lineup every day. So I do believe it or not, despite that eyesore of a batting average and that horrible strikeout per at-bat ratio, that there's some value out there for him. And look, you're not going to fetch a Paxton trade, but I think you could get an young asset or two. And I recently did an article where I'm trading James Paxton away, and I just packaged the two of them together because they are so in sync. I mean, James Paxton is a markedly different pitcher when he's throwing to Mike Zunino than anyone else. So if there's an organization out there that wants a starting pitcher, top of the rotation starting pitcher in James Paxton, but we need that guy that makes him the best that he is as well in order for this to be of great value to us, then I say just package them both together to someone and see if you can get four or five minor league guys in return.
Yeah, Chuck, I loved your last article on trying to find trade targets for Paxton. New York can't handle the pressure. Boston, farm system depleted. Cleveland, they're looking to trade. Houston, bleep them! Dude, we saw that. I was rolling. That's great. Oh, bleep them. Because I have sentiments like that.
We're not going to give you another stud starting pitcher to haunt us with. I mean, it's bad enough to have a four-game series against the Astros there in Houston with Garrett Cole and Verlander and everybody else they can throw at you. We're not going to have one of our own guys sitting there in Houston blanking us. So, yeah, blank them. Yeah, they're not even consideration.
It depends. if you make sure that Paxton's shoulder is going to explode as soon as he gets traded, he becomes like the Manchurian candidate and he sabotages them from the inside.
Well, usually what happens to Mariner fans is they watch that guy go on to finally reach his potential. Chris Taylor, Adam Jones, many others. So, no, that's not usually what happens here to this beleaguered fan base here in Seattle. But I'll say this, along those lines that you bring that up, is that Paxton's a little more difficult, I think, to trade than people realize. He is a titanic klutz. I mean, he is a clodhopper. So the National League, I think, is eliminated because, I mean, I don't even trust this guy to ascend a staircase without getting injured, much less run bases or putting a bat in his hand. So really, if I'm going to give market value for him, I think you're only looking at American League teams and American League teams who think they might be in contention next year. So that's one thing I think could work against Seattle is trying to find a trade partner that would, and it probably have to come from the American League.
This guy going to climb stairs like Clint Barnes?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. But
going
I was not
down
even
the stairs
making
the
up
hard
the
way.
He was injured, put on the DL because he tripped up some stairs at spring training and had to start the season injured.
Well, you know, he could always pull the Marty Cordova tanning bed trick. That'll always work.
Yeah. Now, that I do remember.
Chuck Powell, KJR 950 in Seattle with us on the BetDSI.com Inside Line. So, Chuck, as we got about a minute left here, what do you believe they will actually do? What do you think is what will happen with the Mariners this offseason?
Believe it or not, I started writing these articles before the news broke yesterday that everybody sort of glommed on. The reason I'm even on with you right now is because the Mariners made it into the national sports news cycle here. But I've been writing these articles. I've already done the seven steps that I've blogged about on my radio show. So it seems like they're going to use my advice. Not that they're listening to me, but it seems like this is the road they're going to take. I suspect they're going to keep Diaz. They're going to keep Haniger. They're going to try to back their way into a playoff here in the next couple of years. If they can, that would just be icing on the cake. But the bigger plan is to move tradable assets, restock the farm system, and hopefully in 3 to 5 years, be in a position to challenge the Astros in the American League West and try to be a champion team. Stop trying to make moves to end the playoff drought. Start making moves to win a World Series. It can be done.
Chuck, a lot of great info, man. I tell you, I love talking baseball. I'm a big baseball fan myself. Love talking baseball. Hopefully we'll get to talk some more with you soon. I really appreciate your time today.
All right, Patrick. Thanks, man.
All right, Chuck Powell, KJR. Follow him on Twitter, at Chuck Powell, KJR. With us on the BetDSI.com inside line. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125. Get a 125% bonus on your initial deposit when you sign up with BetDSI.com.